praying is usually occupied with their needs. Lord, and we tell them our needs. Praising is usually occupied with our blessings, what God has done for us. But worship means that we are occupied with God. We're just focused in on Him. He's the object of our affection. He's the object of our admiration. He's the object of our attention. He is the object of our concentration. It is just God and God only.
There's a lot of debate about worship in the church today. Which songs are best? What kind of instruments to use? How long should it last? Today on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley, we begin a series that aims to clear up some of the misunderstanding by examining worship from a biblical view. Part 1 frames its lesson around the story of Abraham in Genesis 22.
Now, if I should ask you to define worship, most of you would probably struggle at what that means. But let me just give you 3 words, because I don't know that anybody can adequately define what worship is. I think it probably would be defined best by what a person feels. At least that's what most of us would do. But when I think about worship, I think of 3 words. The first one is overflowing. And that is, when you and I are worshiping the Lord, is it not that we are overflowing with something within us? It is a spontaneous outpouring of an inner sense of awe and adoration and praise to the Lord. So first of all, there's an overflowing. It's like a spring just bubbling up and overflowing. The second word is an outpouring. When you and I are worshiping the Lord, what are we doing? Pouring out our heart to Him, expressing in joy and thanksgiving and praise what we are feeling about Him on the inside. And then the third word, and I think this is the key word here in discussing what worship is the word occupation. Because when we are worshiping God, we are occupied with Him. We're not occupied with our needs. We're not occupied even with the blessings that God has given us. We're just occupied with Him. We're concentrating on Him. We're thinking about Him. We're rejoicing about who He is. We are adoring Him, admiring Him. We are praising Him. And the focus of our attention is upon the Lord. And you see, there's a difference between praying and praising the Lord in worship. Praying is usually occupied with our needs. Lord, and we tell Him our needs. Praising is usually occupied with our blessings, what God has done for us. But worship means that we are occupied with God. We're just focused in on Him. He's the object of our affection. He's the object of our admiration. He's the object of our attention. He is the object of our concentration. It is just God and God only. And you see, so many times, what we call worship isn't worship at all. And I'm sure that very few people attend any church today and worship God. And when I think about what true worship is, and think about the fact that worship is occupation with Him, and I really believe, of all the definitions that I know of, there's something about that word, because praise, what are we doing? We are occupied with Him, but we are saying, I love You because of what You did for me. In prayer, I'm saying, Lord, here's what I need You to do with me. But when you and I are worshiping Him, we're just saying, God, I love You just because You're You. And somehow there are not many people who know how to do that. And the truth is, we verbalize with our lips. It may pass through our mind, but our spirit does not lift up and praise the Lord God because we're not occupied with Him. People who are occupied with God are thinking about Him. They want to know more about Him. They want to learn who He is. They want to figure out and decide, how can I give more of myself to Him? They're examining their hearts in the light of who He is, looking at their lives in the light of what they ought to be, looking at themselves in the light of what He desires for their heart. Men and women who are occupied with Jesus Christ are not occupied with things down here when they're worshiping God. And for that reason, I say to you, most people have never worshiped God. Most church members have never worshiped Him. And most of them don't know how, and the vast majority of us have never been taught how to worship God. Now, you can worship Him all alone, You can worship Him by twos, fours, twenties, or thousands. What determines whether you're worshiping God or not? Not what goes on around you, but what occupies your mind and what you have your focus on. You know what? When you really learn to worship the Lord, something happens in your relationship to it. Because when you learn to worship the Lord, what happens? While you recognize that He's the sovereign God of the universe, there's something happening. You see, the word transcendent means that he's far above all things, and He is. But He sent the Holy Spirit to be within us so that He up there and we down here could come together. And that's why when we pray, we're not praying to God out yonder. He said the Holy Spirit walks by us, lives within us, above us, around us, under. He's everywhere. So we want to be able to know how to relate to Him, to fellowship with Him, to worship Him, to bow down. But there's several things involved. And the first one, of course, is becoming a Christian. That's not the first point. But you recall in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, listen, he said, the things of the Spirit are foolishness to the world. They don't understand the things of God. So listen, no man has ever worshiped God who was not a Christian. Because he says spiritual things are spiritually discerned, and apart from the Holy Spirit, you cannot worship God. Listen, a man may prostrate himself on the ground before a wooden idol, a brass idol, iron, gold, or iron, whatever it might be. But he's not worshiping God. Because, in order to worship God, you and I must have the living Holy Spirit within us to lift our praise and worship to God, because we can't do it. How can a sinful, vile, wicked man worship a holy God? It is only when a righteous, living, holy Christ comes into our life through the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit within us is the one who praises and who worships the Father through us. And I'm going to show you why in just a moment. But the only person who can worship God is a person who is indwelt by the Son of God. That is the only person who can genuinely worship God. All right, let's look to see what happened, because I think there's some areas here that you and I need to get a hold of. All right, first thing I want you to get down is this. The true worship is based on a revelation of God. True worship is based on a revelation of God. The Scripture says that the Lord spoke to Abraham and revealed Himself to him. God revealed Himself to Abraham so that he knew that it was God, but he didn't know the God like you and I know Him because he didn't have a Bible. But he knew that God was speaking to him. And how did he know that? How do we know that he knew it? Because the very next morning, the Bible says, he didn't get up at 10:30. He got up early in the morning and he headed out in obedience to God. Now listen, until you and I accept the revelation of God, you will not worship Him. You may attend, you may participate, you may do many things, but a man does not worship God until he accepts the revelation of God. That's why the fellow who doesn't believe the Bible, he says, well, I believe there's a God, but I don't believe that book. He's not worshiping God because, listen, the very foundation of all worship is the revelation of God. And in a few moments, we'll see in verse 5, that Abraham said to these two men who went with him, he said, you stay here, but my son and I, we are going to worship. We're going to prostrate ourselves before this God. We're going to sacrifice to this God. So when somebody says to you, oh yes, I worship God every Sunday. Do you believe the Bible? No. Then you don't have to tell them, but you mark it down. They are not worshiping God. The second thing I want you to notice, that true worship is conditioned by faith in and obedience to the Word of God. Faith in and obedience to. You see, it's not just faith in believing that it is, but it's obedience. Now listen, you think about this for a moment, because you see, when you and I get to thinking about it, we look back and say, what have I been thinking? Now listen, when a person bows before God, what are we doing? We are pouring out our heart, overflowing inside. We are occupied with Him. Let me ask you a question. How can a deliberate, disobedient life pour out, overflow, and be occupied with God when the heart is full of sin. When there is deliberate, known violation of Scripture that has not been confessed and repented of before God. You cannot worship God and live in sin at the same time. You cannot. You see, it isn't a matter whether you ought to or you shouldn't. It's a matter you can't. You see, he says, we're going up Mount Moriah to worship. And the reason he could do that is because when God said, Abraham, get up from your country. And he says, I want you to go to a mountain and sacrifice your son, the son whom thou lovest. He was going to sacrifice. And he carried the wood and his son and a fire. And that's the three things he needed to carry on a sacrifice. The wood, the fire, and the sacrifice itself. And he said, we are going to worship. The only reason he could do that was because he was in absolute obedience to the God who told him to do it. Now listen. One of the things you and I are going to do when we get to heaven is worship God forever. Think about this. How grieved he must be. Here, millions of people carrying Bibles under their arm, giving their money, talking to, praying to God, singing songs, get great big period, groups of people together, and they sing, have all night sings and all these things and witnessing for the Lord and doing all this mighty work in these tremendous ministries for God. And here is the righteous, holy God of all the universe up in heaven. You know what he's wanting? He's wanting our worship, not our actions, not all these other things. He's interested in us worshiping him. When we learn to worship him, we won't have to be begged, we won't have to be preached at, we won't have to be cajoled, we won't have to have any of that. When you're worshiping God and you're in love with him, friend, you're going to give everything that you are, everything that you have is committed to him. Third thing I want you to notice, true worship demands a deliberate separation of ourselves unto God. A deliberate separation of ourselves unto God. Listen, he says, abide ye here with the ass or the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Abide ye here. Now watch this for a moment. He was talking about two men. But you know what happens? If you and I are going to worship God, you and I must, we must be willing to say to some people, excuse me. We must be willing to say to some things, I'm going to leave that there. Abide ye here while I go and worship the Father. And I'm not talking about being pious and sanctimonious. I'm talking about you and I must be willing to lay aside. Now watch this carefully. We must be willing to lay aside the things that distract us when we get alone with God. When you get by yourself with the Lord, what keeps popping up in your mind? Now watch this. You'll miss this. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about making a living. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about the natural, normal, necessary things of life. What are the things in life that keep cropping up when you are alone with God? You see, true worship demands a deliberate separation of myself unto him. Listen, to shut it all out, to concentrate upon him, to think upon him, to ask God to shut out all these things. And you see so many people say, but when I get quiet, all these things keep passing through my mind. Now that's why I say you and I have to learn to worship. You could listen to 5,000 sermons, but if you don't practice one of them, it won't do you any good. You won't learn to worship that way. And we'll talk about more of that later. But now listen, a deliberate separation of yourself unto God. When is the last time you decided, I'm going to just get alone with the Lord and just talk to him and be quiet and listen to God? You see, if you say to the Lord, if you have to say, well, it's been a couple of weeks or so since I've done that, or a week, what you're really saying is, I really haven't worked. Let me tell you something. You will never learn to worship God publicly until you learn to worship him privately. There's no way. We may assemble, we may sing, we may do many things, but you will not worship God until you learn, able to learn to do that privately. And then it doesn't make any difference if there are 10,000 people around you. You can sing, "To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world, He gave us His Son." And you can focus your heart's desire and your mind upon Him. But until you learn to do that privately, you can't do it with all these other folks of us around you distracting you. A deliberate separation of yourself. That means it'll take some time to do that. You'll have to say no to some invitations. In fact, if you and I learn to worship God the way we ought to, we may even be misunderstood by somebody else. Maybe somebody in your family. But I believe this is a wise thing. I think every father ought to work this out somehow for his family. That somehow, if it is all possible, it may be that the apartment is so small, the house is so small, you can't all do it at the same time, but I think a family ought to have an agreement that at some time, everybody either has a place or a time that they are allowed to be all by themselves. Because we live in a mad, rushing world. And this is why the Lord said, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." They that wait upon the Lord. You know the best way to wait upon the Lord? Just be quiet all by yourself and focus your attention upon Him. True worship is occupation with a person. Not with needs nor blessings, but occupation with God Himself. All right, the next thing. True worship demands a renunciation of oneself. Now watch this. Verse 10, "And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son." At this one point in Abraham's life, he was dead to his own desires. He had to absolutely and totally desire to die to the desire for a son because he had to kill it. Now let me ask you something. What are you willing to give up to learn how to worship God? Now, I'm not even talking about sin. I'm talking about the natural, normal desires of life. What are you willing to set aside just to be alone with the Lord? And you know what I've noticed sometimes? When the Lord really wants to get me alone with Him, it is amazing what else I can want. It's just like the devil says, "What about this, 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 and this?" And of all the important things that I can suddenly realize that I need to do. All of them good things, part of the ministry, or whatever it might be. And yet you see, if your purpose and mine is to glorify God, none of those things are, listen, at the moment, none of those things are important. And all of us have had the times when God says, and you knew right then you ought to get on your knees somewhere and be by yourself and listen to God. And you didn't do it. What happened? It just passed away. And you thought, well, I didn't do it that time. And you thought you won and you lost. Next thing. True worship always glorifies God, lifts the heart of God. Listen to what He said. In verse 16, verse 15, "And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heavens the second time and said, By myself have I sworn." Now watch, now I think this is important. And it's beautiful to me that the angel of the Lord, who is Christ, and He said, "By myself have I sworn." Now friend, listen, when He says that, you can bet something's going to happen. "For because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son." You know what? He just glorified God. You think about this. Abraham offered the best and the most precious thing he had, his only son, to God. What does that say about God? It says that the God whom he's serving is worthy of his very best. That's why He ought to have our best time, our best concentration, the first fruits of our finances. God deserves the best. And we glorify God in worship by giving Him the best. And then one last thing I want you to notice. True worship always results in a blessing for the worshiper. Listen to what he says, the next part of that verse, verse 17. He says that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. When you and I glorify the Lord, giving him ourselves and that which is worthy of him, we're going to be blessed. He always blesses those who honor him with their best, willing to make a presentation. You see, listen, true worship doesn't begin with what I have to lay on some altar. True worship begins with my attitude, my concentration, my heart, myself. He just wants you. And you see, the moment he gets you, the blessing begins.
You're listening to In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. The essence of true worship is giving ourselves completely to God, to become occupied with Him. As we do that, then worship is the natural overflow. If you would like to ponder these thoughts again, log on to intouch.org and look for the link to Today on Radio. And look around for more resources that will help you make your time of worship truly honoring to the Lord. Our web address again is intouch.org. You may write to In Touch Ministries of Australia at P.O. Box 704, Penrith, New South Wales, 2751, or ring us on 1-800-765-615 for the cost of a local call. Again, that's 1-800-765-615. You may also email us at au@intouch.org. Again, email to au@intouch.org. Is there something blocking your worship? Here's a moment with Charles Stanley.
You cannot worship God and live in sin at the same time. You cannot be occupied with the Holy God when His Holy Spirit is already convicting you of your sin. What are you occupied with? You are occupied in the presence of God with your unworthiness and your guilt and your sin and your disobedience. Let me give you an example. You get down to pray tonight, and you say, now, Lord, you know I want to be what you want me to be, and you get real serious about your praying, that old shadow comes up. And that old shadow keeps coming up as that thing in your life that God wants to take out. And you say, Lord, I want to worship you, and I want to praise you, and I want to adore you, and, Lord, what I've really got to do is to deal with that. Right? That's exactly right. So when you come to church on Sunday morning, man, you come and you sit down, you pull out the hymn book and you sing and you bow your head and you give your offering and we talk about worshiping God. That's not worshiping God. And you see, you can go to 10,000 worship services, but if you have willful, known, deliberate sin that you're holding on to in your life, you can attend and participate, but you cannot worship God.
You can learn more about how to put sin away and truly worship God. Visit us at intouch.org. If today's program gave you renewed motivation to obey God, we'd love to hear from you. Tomorrow on In Touch, correct worship begins with correct theology. Learn the proper motivation of worship. Tuesday on In Touch, the teaching ministry of Dr. Charles Stanley. This program is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.